Five geeks, five opinions, one podcast. Nerdgasm War Network. Where would you nerd shit?
Hello! And welcome to Nerdgasm Noir Network. It's me, Dee, and I'm here with Jamie and Melissa. And today we're here to talk about... Well, we're here to talk about nerd shit, but we're also trying to make sure that Melissa's okay. Because she's currently... She currently lives in the Detroit, Michigan area. And there was... Y'all have been having so many issues with just water in general. If it's not the city trying to shut your water off, it's nature trying to give you too much water. So, Melissa, first and foremost, are you okay?
I myself am fine.
But?
Oh, there's more to this. Okay. So. I'm sorry. No, there was like this huge flood yesterday. It took out most of the major freeways. And it took a long time for people to respond. I had a friend on Facebook reporting that he had been on the lodge for... I want to say a total of 18 hours. Yeah, it was bad. This city, apparently, this state, I'm going to say, because it wasn't just Detroit. Like, I think it was the freeways of Detroit that were fucked, but then it really hit the surrounding, I hate the term Metro Detroit, but Metro Detroit, the surrounding areas of Detroit, it hit them bad. So people were stranded in their cars. I had at least one coworker that slept in her car. As of right now, I only know of one death that occurred. A woman had a seizure and emergency vehicle couldn't get to her. It's pretty bad. Like, these streets are not made for floods. So.
I would assume, well, no. California freeways are actually... pretty good as far as rain goes. It's just the people don't know how to act.
Well, like, it was when I was on my way back to work to drop a coworker off, we were just talking about how it was just starting to get bad with raining, and she's from like Louisville, and so she was looking at the streets and she was like, y'all don't have no sewer gates over here. That's why this is happening, because of all the, like, it just stays there. I have friends that were, I mean, on a lighthearted side, some friends decided to canoe or it was a kayak. It was a kayak. I take it back. Outside of their homes. Because the water had gotten that deep.
Golly.
I don't know. That shit was scary. I got home at a reasonable time for once. And so I sort of like, blocked myself off of everything, which is what I do when I get home from work. So I didn't really know about it until, like, it didn't hit me until I saw more than a few pictures of a flood. I was like, wait a minute. Is that the lodge?
Right. It's not just like, oh, there's bad water in this area. It's like, oh, it's a citywide flood and this is serious and dangerous.
Yeah. And crazy. So a lot of stuff was closed down today. Side streets were okay. So that was fine. It's just, I mean, Detroit, this year, really, freeways are very important.
Mm-hmm.
And when that shit goes down, I don't know. So that's what's happening in not all of Michigan, my side of Michigan. It rained a little today again. There was a storm. But it didn't. I guess nothing's going to top yesterday, so. It didn't even feel that bad.
Well, I hope it gets better. Like, I'm glad it sucks that there was the actual flood, but at least it's not as bad as it could have been.
Yeah. Hopefully, I don't know, hopefully after this, unfortunately this, maybe there's something that could be done where we could, I don't know, be better prepared.
Well, what you need, you're definitely going to need, like, water drainage, something.
Yeah, they could just put those in. I mean, I don't know, I'm not a city planner or whatever they are called, but
Well, I'm glad you're safe.
Thank you.
So, back to normal things. Welcome to Nerdgasm Noir Network. If you want to know how to listen to us, you want to know what's going on with us, go to nerdgasmnoir.net. I say it every episode, nerdgasmnoir.net. That's where all the fun stuff is happening, so make sure you go to the site and check that out. Ladies, this week has been an interesting week in nerd news, especially nerd movies. I finally saw... Did you guys see Guardians of the Galaxy?
I did.
I have not, and now I decided that I want to see it, so I would prefer no spoilers. Thank you.
You know what? As much as I was like, meh, I don't really feel like it, I was pleasantly surprised. But you know what surprised me more, though?
Everybody dies.
No.
I feel like that was rude as hell.
I'm talking about what surprised me more with what movie was... surprised me more with how much I enjoyed it.
Please don't. Are you gonna say Ninja Turtles?
I am gonna say Ninja Turtles.
Wow.
I went and saw. Okay, look. When I was a kid, I loved Ninja Turtles. Me and my cousin used to pretend to be the Ninja Turtles in my grandfather's backyard, and we would do karate and stuff. I was obsessed with the Ninja Turtles as a kid. You can ask my dad. So the fact that I'm shocked that I enjoyed the movie. Now, don't get me wrong. Michael Bay the hell out of that movie. Every single thing was an explosion. Every fight scene didn't make sense. Splinter and the Turtles are scary. This is supposed to be a movie for kids. But the main characters and the old wise man, mouse, whatever, are scary. Like, legit give you nightmares scary. And then they tried to... The way that they did the backstory was kind of... I want to say it's dumb, but I think I only want to say it's dumb because it's not the backstory I'm used to. But they try to make it so that they did a little thing with April O'Neil making the turtles and this, that, and the other. It was just kind of weird. But it was actually pretty good, and it was pretty fun. And it's a kid's movie, so I can't really give it shit like I wanted to give it shit. The only thing I can really say is it's so very Michael Bay. But aside from that, in spite of all of its Michael Bay-ness, it's actually pretty good. Yes? No? Maybe so?
I refuse. Those turtles look fucking ugly. I know that we joked about it when Kat was on here, but it ruined my childhood. Nothing you say will make me watch that fucking movie. Good day.
You're going to watch it.
Never going to watch it.
You're going to watch it, and then when you watch it, you're going to be like, oh, this is cute.
That's never what I'm going to say.
The only time I'm going to watch this movie is I'm full of martinis.
If I ever live tweet this movie, it's because Dee is holding me hostage somewhere. Send help.
Yo, if it comes out on streaming video or something before Dragon Con, guess what you bitches are watching?
Dee, no. I'm telling you right now, I better be full of martinis.
I will provide the martinis, bitch.
That's like the most expensive thing. You can't just be full of beer.
You're right. I can't get you some woodchuck? Like, for real?
You're just like martinis with the martini glasses.
She wants all of it, everything.
Look, if you're going to make me watch Ninja Turtles after you just told me that it looks scary and it's Michael Bay'd up with the fight scenes not making any sense, then I want to be full of some good freaking drink, okay?
It was surprisingly enjoyable, you guys. Surprisingly.
No.
You guys, you can trust me. I've always had the best of taste.
Whatever.
Anyway, but yeah, so that shocked me. Since Melissa now is going to watch Guardians of the Galaxy, we shall wait to talk about it. Because I want her to see it. Because it was really, really good. I was actually... Excuse me. Jeez, rudeness. It was good. I was pleasantly surprised by it.
Yeah, I loved it.
I I liked it a lot more than I expected to. Okay, so one thing about the movie, though, I will say this. The movie did a really good job of letting Chris Pratt be just enough of Chris Pratt without overdoing it. Because you know how movies, they go, okay, well, this person is perfect for this role, so we just let them go crazy, right?
And I kind of like how... because the Guardians of the Galaxy, they're all supposed to be, like, kind of, like, losers or messed up. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that they actually show that these people are messed up. And, like, I hate when you have group movies where the group is supposed to learn how to work together, but suddenly 5 minutes later they're working together perfectly. No!
Right.
It don't make no sense. Like, what's the whole point of the movie now? They work, like... The whole struggle is already resolved in the first 10 minutes.
Right. Like, the movie does a good job of, oh my God, you guys are idiots, I'm going to go away. Well, I can't because this is happening, so let me just get through this and then I'll leave. And it's like, okay, well, I guess we're not going to leave because of that and the other. But I think the best character is Groot.
Yes!
Rocket. Okay, so Rocket Raccoon and Groot, both, I really, really love the characters, but also they made me really, really mad.
Why?
It's gonna sound so petty, but we got a talking squirrel and a semi-talking tree, and they have so much character range and so much emotion.
It's not a squirrel, it's a raccoon.
Huh?
He's a raccoon.
What did I say? Did I say squirrel?
Yes, you said squirrel.
Oh, I meant raccoon. But we got a talking raccoon and a semi-talking tree. And they get to be fully fleshed out characters. And I still don't have a Black Panther movie or a Black Widow movie. I'm just saying. Petty, I know, but whatever. Whatever. But we won't talk about that too much. We'll wait till Melissa sees it. And she better go see it. As a matter of fact... I'm going to punch Melissa if she doesn't see it.
Yeah, I hope you see it this week.
The dollar show is a valid amount of time to wait.
No. I mean, damn it, Melissa. That's going to be 6 months from now.
A week. You have a week.
And it'll feel like fresh. A week. That is 7 days.
A week.
Yes. That's how long a week is.
A week. You have a week.
So soon.
A week. That means you have the... I need you to get your very inner extrovert, drag that person to the surface, and go see the movie.
Maybe I'll take my parents.
Yeah, that'd be good. I think they'll enjoy this.
We see Days of Futures...
I still haven't seen that, you guys. Still haven't.
Oh, I should have took my mom to see this. She would actually enjoy this because, you know, she likes Star Trek, and I figure it's a Galaxy movie, so.
You know what? My mom actually didn't enjoy it. My mom enjoyed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles more. But that's because my mom likes
silly. Why your mama like that?
No, my mom likes silly, funny things. She doesn't like when things get too serious. So my mom is more geared towards like silly kids movies. She doesn't really like comic book movies because she feels like they're too complicated and there's a story. There's this whole story that I guess I'm supposed to read and I don't want to have to read up on all of that. So I'm just going to go like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think that's her deal.
Aww.
But they're so creepy looking. Like, why do we have to do that? Like, why couldn't we just have a cartoon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie? Who asked for a live action?
Well, apparently somebody did. But
Michael Bay did.
We're getting back onto a subject that we was trying to go away from. So let's.
All right. No, actually, we do have stuff.
Can I ask one question? I'll leave it alone. I promise forever.
Okay.
Was there at least the yellow jumpsuit?
For Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yes.
There was a bright yellow leather jacket.
I'm done.
And actually, Will Arnett...
I'm not asking any more questions about the fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Will Arnett was actually pretty good.
Oh, Will Arnett! Oh, Will Arnett!
Yeah.
Still no.
They kept making fun of Will Arnett for being old. the turtles kept referring to him. They kept saying, "We got to get to April and that one old guy," and it was just sad.
Oh no! You won't do this.
Oh, you're gonna watch it. Shut up. Anyway, moving on. We actually had stuff that we were gonna talk about. We got a couple really, really good articles from the G Plus community, as per usual. And of course, you know who's really knocking these articles out of the park is Michael W. from the G Plus community. Put up this He put up this article in the community. He puts up a lot of good articles. So I just want to say really quick, thank you, Michael, for putting up some good articles in the community. I very much appreciate it. It's hard for me to keep up, but you're good, sir. You're so very good. But he put up an article from ForHarriet.com about the black women science fiction writers you need to know. And the cool part about this list is that I met some of these people. Haha, Melissa.
So why don't you read the list, Deanna, and then say which ones you met.
Okay, I'm going to brag like nobody's business right now. I don't even give a fuck. Okay, so obviously the first person on this black women science fiction writers everyone should know is Octavia Butler.
Yeah.
We've expounded on how great this woman is. Octavia, her writing's amazing. Even her writing that she wasn't particularly fond of is amazing. So I don't just read it. Just,
y'all think there's anything else that we could possibly say to, it's just
that we haven't said already.
Right. So, you know, just do it, man.
Just do it. Second author on the list is someone who I met at my first time at Aresia. Haha, Melissa. And I got her to follow Nerdgasm. And that's Miss Tananarive Du. She's very, she's actually a she does horror and she does a little bit, I guess, science fiction-y thing, but it's mostly horror stories. She writes with her husband. She has a series, actually, that she does, and she's actually working on a movie with Blair Underwood, who was on the cover of this series. Mm-hmm.
Her name is so musical.
I bought one of those series to see what it's like.
Go ahead. What'd you say?
Her name is so musical.
So I bought one of those. Oh, I'm sorry.
Never mind. I was just saying how musical her name sounds.
Oh, Tananarive Du? Yeah. It does sound musical. But you were saying, Melissa?
Oh. No, I just thought it was so interesting, because you never hear about, like, Blair Underwood is a movie star first, Melissa. A movie star, a celebrity going in with an author for a book. Mm-hmm. But Blair Underwood did with Miss Du, I can't pronounce her first name because I'm horrible, and her husband Stephen Barnes.
Who I also got to meet.
I hate you, but I mean,
well, that's maybe if you'd actually go to some shit, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Maybe if they started having stuff, I don't know, in my apartment complex, I could make it. Probably.
It's a con.
Just all be in Southfield, Michigan. Like, hey. Go meet Tim Hortons. But yeah. I'm sorry. That's all I want to say about that. I really had nothing else.
All right. Next author on the list. I am so bragging and I don't even care. I actually did a panel with this author at WizCon, and I was trying to buy her book from her because one of the things she does is she's in a theater troupe, and if you buy books directly from her, 100% of the proceeds of the book that you buy directly from her go to her theater troupe, and that's but I didn't get a chance to catch up with her in order to buy the book from her, and so like I'm gonna have to catch her at Aresia or something. But the next author on the list is Andrea Hairston. Andrea also she writes fantasy and what sci-fi-ish, but I would also say that her writing kind of counts under weird fiction. It's very, very interesting. She writes very, very interesting stories.
Does she go to WizCon a lot, too?
She does. She was at WizCon. She's been to WizCon and Aresia the past 2 years, every time we've gone.
Yeah.
And she's very, very, yeah, she was at Aresia the first time we went.
Uh-huh. But I think she was at a WizCon that we went to.
She was at WizCon when we went to. You weren't there the first time we went to Aresia, were you, JP?
But I saw her at WizCon.
But you did see her at WizCon.
Yeah.
And then I think she went to both this year, too.
Yeah.
So if you're ever at Aresia or WizCon, one, I would say definitely check out her books. Two, if you're ever at Aresia or WizCon and you run into her, buy a book directly from her. So that way you can support her theater troupe. Next person on the list, I haven't met, but I'm going to meet her before, Melissa Darrow, because she actually teaches at UC Riverside. And that's going to be Miss Nalo Hopkins.
Ma'am, look, if you meet her, look, I'm not going to say anything violent.
Yo,
I'm just going to imply.
Not gonna say anything violent.
I'll find out. Look, I will re-enroll in UC Riverside. I will actually go to class just so she could be one of my teachers, and I can rub it in your face.
You are an asshole.
However many thousands of dollars in debt from student loans is worth it. Nell Hopkins also writes more fantasy-esque stories. Her most known work is Brown Girl in the Ring. I started it this year. I didn't finish it because I start 80,000 things and then I have to work to finish them. But I'm really, really liking what I'm reading so far. So I would say definitely check her out. Mm-hmm. The next author on the list is one of my favorite authors, and I got to meet her at WizCon this year.
Sorry.
She's not only is she a great author, but she's just an all around sweet person, you guys. She was just so nice. And she's very dapper.
Yes, dapper.
We'll get into that in a second, but that author is N.K. Jemisin. N.K. Jemisin writes mostly, she writes really high fantasy stories. Like, her fantasy stories to me are so otherworldly. They're like, Tolkien-esque.
Yeah.
Nothing is happening on Earth. Nothing is happening on Earth. Entirely different people and cultures and animals and things like that. It's an entire world building thing. If you've read The 100,000 Kingdoms, you understand. If you haven't read 100,000 Kingdoms, definitely read 100,000 Kingdoms. It's amazing. And then, like we were saying before, she's really, really nice and really, really dapper. At WizCon, there was a POC speakeasy that we did. The speakeasy parties that have been happening, Mickey usually she coordinates them. But she was there at the speakeasy party this year, and she was dressed in a nice blue suit. And apparently, I made a drink too strong for her, and everybody was mad at me. But it was totally worth it. Another author that is on the list, you probably heard about her. You've definitely heard of something that she's read, because she's got a lot of traction as far as science fiction and fantasy stories go, but that's going to be Miss Nnedi Okorafor. She's a Nigerian-American writer. The thing that you may know her most from is Who Fears Death. I haven't read anything of her yet, and I keep saying I'm going to. But then go ahead.
Who Fears Death was amazing balls.
Amazeballs. I'm going to put that on my list of stuff that I need to read.
Like, I know the rest of her stuff is young adult. But, oh my god.
And then the last writer on the list is a very, very, very nice woman. She also goes to all the cons. You can see her at, she's been at Aresia and WizCon every time we've gone. But that's going to be a Miss Nisi Shawl. She's got a lot of short stories out. Actually, last con, I think, was it WizCon or was it Aresia, where she was talking about a book that she's working on that I'm super, super excited about, but it probably won't come out for years. But But yeah, so definitely, you should definitely check out these authors. Especially because Black women in science fiction stories, it's a unique perspective. As a Black girl who loves science fiction fantasy stories, everyone except for maybe Nnedi Okorafor, because I haven't read much of her stuff yet. Most of their stuff has touched me in many ways because I'm not gonna sit here and squee, but just know that I squee. I've squeed in front of these people. They're amazing. I would definitely recommend checking out some of their stuff. Anything you ladies want to add?
Nope. But she did literally squee when she met certain people.
Okay. I will. No, okay. So I'll tell you right now. So I've been made fun of for a good year. Because when I met Tananarive Due, I basically freaked out. Like, I couldn't speak. I was shaking. And Mickey and everybody made fun of me the entire time that I was freaking out, and they made fun of me for the whole year after. But then this year, when NK Jemisin was at WizCon, another girl, when she met NK Jemisin, she started crying. So I would like to thank that girl for taking the mantle of the freaking out Black girl when she meets her favorite author. Oh, I appreciate you.
Look, you freaked out because you poured her so much alcohol because she was too busy with your mouth open, like, NK! And you kept pouring, and people was like,
it's funny because she was like, this is too short. And Mickey was like, no, it's not. Don't you take that away from her.
Anyway, moving on. So the next good link that was posted in our G Plus community was posted by Sharon, because it was
shout out to Sharon too for posting all the good links.
Yep. So the article is about Professor Sheena Howard, who won basically the Oscars of comics. She won the Eisner Award, which is the highest honor in comics, for her book Black Comics: Politics of Race and Representation. Which focuses on Black comic strip creators and the cultural representation of, I can say it now, a Black scene comics that are produced by Blacks. So when I don't look at stuff, that's when I could talk. Okay. So the article pretty much give 5 facts about her. And what's interesting is that she didn't start out being a big fan of comic books. So, because, like, I was not a big fan of comic books when I first came out as a nerd. I pretty much preferred the cartoon versions of the comics, but I did have friends that had comic books, and every now and then I would read their stuff. So, it's kind of interesting how that you don't need to be there from the beginning to end up being a fan of it.
No. A lot of people stumble into a lot of fandoms. Like, I stumble into stuff mad late. You guys have talked to me about TV shows, and I've been like, oh, that sounds interesting. And then a year later, I'm like, oh my god, I don't understand what was... Case in point, The Musketeers. Everybody had already seen The Musketeers, and I had kind of watched it faintly in the background, and then one day, I decided to pay attention while I was watching the show, and I fell in love with it.
So, and she's also an author of the book Black Queer Identity Matrix. So in this book, she addresses the complex nature of race relations in the LGBTQ community, along with the gay rights movement. So I would check out that book too. But yeah, that's just cool. She just sounds cool. I would read the article. I would check out her books. I would just yell her name from across the ocean. Sheena Howard, you're awesome. So yeah.
I'm gonna write that down. I'm gonna have to read those. Those look really, really interesting.
Yep, I think I'm just gonna try to get one of those books and read it.
Actually, side note, I would like to point out that one of the great things about doing this podcast with you ladies, and also talking to more nerds on the internet, is before I used to have an abundance of stuff to read. And half the stuff I would not like, because, you know, it's the same angsty white dude stuff. But now I have this abundance of stuff to read that, like, pertains to my identity. And at first I was, like, upset because I can't keep up with all of it. But now I'm actually kind of happy that I've found this abundance of things.
Aww.
It makes my heart warm, you guys. Thank you.
It was the warm, fuzzy moment of the evening.
Okay, warm fuzz. Let's just go over the books again. So the books by Sheena Howard, Black Comics, Politics of Race and Representation, and her other book is Black Queer Identity Matrix. And so go check those out if you have a chance.
Definitely. Okay. So we are at the 30-minute mark, ladies. Do you want to go for 45?
Sure. I think the next few topics are going to go pretty fast.
Okay. Well, the next topic is sad. If you don't, you should know by now. But if you weren't aware, yesterday, but by the time this goes out, if you're not listening live and you're listening to the recording, yesterday, August 11th, it was announced that Robin Williams actually passed away. They suspect that it's a suicide. It's a really sad story. He's fought with bipolar disorder for like his entire life. Jamie!
Hello.
Hi.
But it sounds like you're in a washing machine.
Oh, does it?
I'm sorry. Are you going through a wormhole? Tell us what you see.
Is there a ghost in your? What are you using? Because your iPad is broken.
I'm using my iPhone.
That's your iPhone broke?
It shouldn't be. Hold on. Let me remedy this. Hold on. Keep talking now. And hi, everybody.
You want to know what's weirdly apropos for the show?
Wait, I can't hear.
We're talking about the sad story of the night, and that's when Jamie pops up.
Well, you know me. I'm sad.
Aw, we love you, Jamie. But, like I was saying before, his whole life, Robin Williams has been, struggling with bipolar disorder. But in all honesty, that's not the point. The suicide's not the point. The moral of the story is, this is a person who has brought joy to millions and millions of people, and it's very, very sad that he's passed, but we're glad he's at peace, right, guys?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Next story.
Before we move on, I just want to let everyone know that there are resources. So please make sure if there's someone that you know that is dealing with depression or considering suicide, that you make sure that you get them to go to either Suicide Prevention Lifeline.org or call the number 1-800-273-TALK. Or 1-800-273-8255. There's also a very good article about Robin Williams and how we talk about mental illness, and that we have to change the environment in how we deal with mental illness and suicide. So that will be posted along with the show.
Definitely. All right. Moving on, I'm trying to find the best way to frame this, because so much has gone on over the over the weekend in terms of the internet and how the internet is used to spread information, and whether or not things like Twitter or whatever is important when it comes to pretty much activism and social justice and things like that. So if you don't know, which you probably don't if you're not on Twitter, is that over the weekend in Ferguson, St. Louis, a young man by the name of Mike Brown was actually shot and killed by the police. There's been so many different stories that the police have been putting out as to what happened in the situation, but the main thing is this. The kid was only 17 or 18 years old. He was shot and killed by the police. All the witnesses say that he wasn't fighting back. He actually had his hands up when the police shot him, this, that, and the other. When they had a candlelit vigil to mourn the child, the police in Ferguson, Missouri, actually showed up to the vigil in riot gear. When these people are mourning the death of, you know, somebody who was their friend and their family and things like that. Things escalated extremely quickly in the city of Ferguson, but no major news media was covering it. The only way people were really getting information about it was via Twitter from people who were there. There was a couple videos put on YouTube. One video was one of Mike Brown's friends was actually retelling what happened in a video that was posted up on YouTube that has since been taken off. There is a situation still currently where the police are actually trying to keep news media out of Ferguson. Meanwhile, they're bringing more cops and more military gear into the situation, dealing with people who are unarmed and who are really just mourning the death of a friend and a family member. Now, the reason I say all of this is because so many people have been saying that Twitter does nothing. Nothing. But you have the situation where this is happening, and the news isn't covering it. Twitter's covering it. The only reason people know what's going on is because Twitter is covering it. There was even advice from people. The people in Ferguson were getting advice from people who were at the riots in Egypt. Was it last year or the year before? Last year, right?
Right.
The people who were in those riots were giving people from Ferguson advice on how to deal with tear gas, because the police had tear gas canisters and they were spray painting people. There's a video of a woman who was actually pregnant who was forced down on the ground by police officers and forced to lay on her stomach. The main thing I want to say is when we have things like this happening where people are trying to shut out this information from getting to the rest of the world, how can people say that things like Twitter aren't important? One guy put out advice on Twitter that said, you know, make sure that if you're taking video of what's going on in Ferguson, that your phone syncs with cloud storage. So that way, if the police come and confiscate or even break your phone, he said, if the police come and confiscate or try and break your phone, that video is still saved.
There is even advice out there about using Ustream because it does it live.
Mm-hmm.
You do a live video stream.
Mm-hmm.
So it will already be onto the site as you're doing it, as long as you have a good phone signal. And it's just weird how people are always trying to downgrade the importance of Twitter, but the most important thing about it is the dissemination of information.
Mm-hmm.
That is the main point of most people use of Twitter, is to find out what's happening in other places.
Like, and Twitter gets you the news faster than anything nowadays.
Right. And honestly, if we didn't have Twitter, would we really know everything that's happening in Ferguson right now? I really doubt it. because the media is getting pushed out. There was even a tweet that came out from one, I don't know which media news, was it Fox 2, or about how some of the police were about to aim tear gas at some of the media outlets if they did not leave. You know, using excuse, oh, you're putting our police officers in danger. Your police officer has MK-17s. I don't know what it is. I don't know guns. I just know they had a gun that was going to kill folks who were unarmed. So I don't understand how you in danger, and you have military gear from head to toe. Who is going to hurt you? Who?
Well, it's not so much about them feeling threatened. It's about them maintaining control and instilling fear. So that's the thing. And it's you know, not only, you know, trying to drive away media, but it's also, you know, restricting airspace. It's, you know, withholding, you know, evidence, and it's withholding information from the public. These are all tactics, right? And it's not going to stop until we do something. And there are a lot of people who are doing things on the ground, and there are a lot of people down in Ferguson who will be arriving there this week to help the citizens. Because, you know, it's something remarkable. Like, I remember reading something somewhere, I believe, with a former Army guy, you know, was looking at the footage and going, we were never this geared up when we were overseas in combat. And that's telling. Like, these, you know, folks, these police officers who, you know, are actually public servants and they're supposed to protect and serve are, you know, geared up as if they're about to fight in a major war in the Middle East. It's a scary thing. And these are all, you know, these, I mean, like, whether or not they want somebody, this is an act of terrorism. This is domestic terrorism. The only difference between this and what happened in Oklahoma City, what happened in, you know, with other more, you know, horrific things, is that this is state sanctioned. This has been signed off on by the state. And that's a scary thing. It's a very frightening thing. And all we can do, hopefully, there are organizations out there, OBS, I'm going to say I have to look it up. But there are organizations, the local organizations in Missouri, in Ferguson, that are working, hard to make sure that, you know, not only the citizens are safe, but that information is out there and people are being held accountable. So, and when I find those, the names of those organizations, I'll be sure to mention them at some point in the podcast, but that's it. I know, I'm just at a loss for words because it's, you know, it happens. You don't realize how fragile and how easy it is for police officers to just take black lives as if they have no value. And it happens so often that we don't really even realize it.
Well, the thing about it is since that event, Twitter has basically been ablaze with, this is what's going on in Ferguson. But another thing that Twitter's been doing is pointing out, well, this has happened several times before, even if it didn't escalate to this situation. You know, there have been innocent people killed by police plenty of times before, and that statistic that, you know, a black person is killed by police every 28 hours. And then since this whole thing, since Mike Brown was shot and killed, there have been about three other people in various states who have also been shot and killed by police. There was a guy, there was a kid who was just killed yesterday. Was it? No, the day before yesterday in Los Angeles. There was somebody who was just killed yesterday in Salt Lake City. Like, this is way more.
Yeah, and last week there was James Crawford, and the week before there was Eric Gardner. Like, this is a continuous thing, and if they're not being shot, then they're definitely being assaulted.
And the bad part is even when people are assembling peacefully, even when people are just mourning, they are confronted with violence.
Right. They assume that they are violent offenders just by standing there. You assume to be the enemy.
Yeah, I mean, but that was the plan. It was to incite, to rile up people and incite a riot, because you don't go to a candlelight vigil with attack dogs and
riot gear.
Exactly. And honestly, I feel like they incited that riot in order to have more time to cover up the cops' crime.
Well, that's the thing. Like I said, it was a peaceful situation. People initially were there mourning, and then the cops show up in riot gear, and so people decide they're going to make a statement. No, not even people decide they're going to make a statement. Cops show up in riot gear, people immediately do what Mike Brown was doing, and they put their hands up in the air, and they go, "We're not doing anything. Don't shoot us. We're not doing anything." And even these people not doing anything, just standing there with their hands up in the air, posing no threat, your response to that is to come bring more police and riot gear in that situation. What? How does that even make sense?
And then they get surprised when people get angry and start looting.
Like, well, go ahead.
And here's the thing. Like, honestly, the thing about saying, oh, people are looting and destroying property, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, anytime it's black people, it could be one person and y'all see 100 black people. I'm going to be honest. But here's the thing. The police were the first to threaten and push these people who's just there, mind their own business, trying to honor this poor child's life that was taken. And if you can't see that the police are the terrorists in this situation, and you keep saying, oh, well, people shouldn't loot, or people shouldn't destroy property. Okay. Here's the situation. When you're poor and you have been terrorized over and over and over and over again, and then on the other hand say, well, if you do this and this, you won't get terrorized, and you try to do that and you still get terrorized, after a while you gonna say F it.
Yeah.
Forget it. Everything gotta burn down.
It's not even that. The thing that bothers me the most about it is it's not even like the mob, quote unquote, was looting. It wasn't even as many people who were protesting that were looting.
No, right, it was a very small group of people,
and then a bunch of teenagers after the looting happened went and cleaned up.
There's a shot of them actually cleaning up the quick trip that was burned down. And other residents were cleaning up the city the day after. But that wasn't talked about in the news. Right. We didn't discuss that in the news.
Meanwhile, the police are sitting here tear gassing people and telling people they need to go home, but then blocking off the street so that people can't go home.
And then you have other shots of police actually throwing tear gas or pointing their guns into people's backyards.
Oh, there's so many videos on Vine Vine videos of people are recording the police, like, in their riot gear, and the police just turn around and go, you need to turn that fucking phone off, and point a gun in somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you can see clear down the barrel of this gun from this Vine video.
It's wow. I mean, you would think that we're, you know, you would think it was 50 years ago. It was 60 years ago, the way that things are happening. It's scary.
It's scary, and it's uncalled for. And
yeah,
it's amazing what a police force is willing to do to cover up the fact that they murdered a child.
Oh yeah, definitely. But like, well, so I hate quoting people, and I hate being that person, but like, you know, Martin Luther King said, a riot is a language of the unheard. And this is what happens, like Jim said, when people get pushed. This is what happens when people get pushed. And, you know, Black folks riot about the lack of civil rights, or their rights being erased, their lives. They're rioting, you know, because of, you know, the fact that they're not being treated as human, that their humanity is constantly questioned and, you know, erased. And white folks, you know, riot because, you know, their favorite, you know, hockey team won or lost, or, you know.
Actually, on that note, I'm going to pause and I'm going to say, let's take this to the post-noir. Okay?
Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm.
So, right. Wait, let me do the ending spiel. Spiel. Excuse me, sorry. So, thank you for listening to this episode.
Why don't we just make this extra long episode? Because...
This episode is long, but... And it's about to be longer. Make sure you listen to the post-noir. That's all I'm saying. Which I promise I'll put up, you guys. I've been lacking, I know.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Can we just keep the show together? Because it's...
Okay, that's fine. We can keep it together. Okay, so, piggybacking on what Jamie just said. So, in the midst of all this stuff going on with Ferguson and how the news is only, the only news you've been able to get about it is from Twitter, Tim Wise, in his...
Oh my God!
White ally wisdom. Was very, very upset over the weekend at his so-called haters, who are apparently just internet activists or hashtag activists who just sit behind computers and don't really, you know, make any real change.
Okay, can I pause this? Fuck Tim Wise. Do we really need to talk about his white man tears right now?
I'm spreading it out. It's not just specifically about him. It's actually... It ties into what Jimmy was saying about people, about the reasons that people riot.
Okay.
Basically, it's funny how, well, no, this is what I'll say. It's funny how a lot of the things that Black people do, a lot of non-Black people and white people want to call trivial or stupid because they don't understand how revolutionary they are. Like so many people are like, well, they shouldn't be rioting, or they shouldn't be causing this much of a commotion, because, especially white people, they shouldn't be rioting and they shouldn't be looting. That's just causing a commotion, and it's not, you know, it's not fixing anything. But they're not thinking about it in context. They're not looting, like Jamie said, they're not looting over a sports team losing. They're not rioting over, they're not rioting because, like, the Duke riot, when that head coach was fired because he allowed another coach to molest children at his school. Like, we're not rioting for some, like, Black people aren't rioting for something trivial. Black people aren't using Twitter or hashtags on Twitter for something trivial. This is something that we weren't allowed to do before. We don't get that luxury of rioting over something trivial. We don't get that luxury of having a hashtag over some, well, we do get the luxury of having a hashtag over something trivial, but at the same time, just because you get to speak your piece everywhere,
yeah,
doesn't mean when we speak our piece in a certain place that it's trivial and it's stupid and it's blah, blah, and it's beneath you and blah, blah, blah. Well, you've always had your opportunity to do this. We haven't.
Can I just piggyback on what you are saying, Deanna? So, a lot of white people was mentioning how, oh, well, you know, if we're trying to get back our white rights, instead of rioting and being violent and stuff like that, you know, y'all need to come together and do march and stuff like that. Okay. See, here's a little mini history lesson about the civil rights movement. It wasn't just the peaceful movement part of the civil rights movement. It was also riots. There was also violence. It was black people fighting back. It was the threat of violence that made the people perpetrating the system talk to the people that was doing nonviolent protests.
Well, and that's another thing. A lot of those nonviolent protests, and actually, shout out to Enda Lauren. She sent me a link that I'm gonna have to search through my shit and post it. But a lot of those nonviolent protests that people talk about were accompanied, those people who were practicing nonviolence were accompanied by Negroes with guns just in case something happened.
Yep.
Because even with everything going on that was nonviolent, they knew that, you know, something can still happen. As nonviolent as we want to be, somebody can still come in and try and kill us all. And that's not going to solve anything. That's not, like, nonviolence isn't going to keep... People have this Disney-fied idea that if you just turn the other cheek, everything's going to get better. People don't magically learn your humanity just because you don't fight back. What people do is realize that they can keep abusing you, and they keep abusing you.
Right. And honestly, it wasn't just the nonviolent, as you were saying earlier. It was a combination of the riots, black people getting fed up and fighting back, and the nonviolent protests together that got us somewhere. It was not one or the other. It was both.
Exactly.
So y'all can shove it, saying, oh, why they writing? You know what? Shove it. Shove it up your ass. That's what I gotta say.
Also, Enda just gave me the link, so I'm gonna put that up so that way we can use it. All right, anything you ladies want to add?
Sad, unrelated note. Lauren Bacall died today.
I thought that wasn't confirmed.
No, it's definitely confirmed.
Aww. Gosh.
I know.
Okay. You know what? I also didn't realize that. We never talked about it on the show, did we? That Bob Hoskins died.
Oh yeah. You know, I didn't realize that he was not American.
Okay.
It makes no difference to me. But you just get used to somebody's American accent. That you're like, oh, wait, that's not how you talk.
Anyway, so yeah, that was today's episode. If we don't have anything to add, I would like to say thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. At Nerdgasmoir. You can also follow each of us and each of us individuals, lady. You can also follow us, each of us ladies, individually on Twitter as well. You can check out Jamie, who you're probably already following, at The Way of the Id. You can find JP at Istis. You can find Kia at The Last Storm, Melissa at Black Girl Geeky, and me at Nani Cool J. Thank you for listening, and welcome back, Jamie. We missed y'all.
I missed you guys too.
Yay, Jamie's back. And wait, I gotta do a prayer for her iPad.
Wow, so, I knew you were gonna do it.
So, cool. Go ahead. Dear tech god, please watch over Jamie's iPad, even though it has been beaten and dropped and mistreated.
Actually, it hasn't been mistreated, and it only dropped once in the last.
But Jamie still loves you, iPad, and with the grace of the tech god and the Apple geniuses, made the iPad rise
from the electronic circuits
and be a new hallelujah megabytes RAM.
Shut up.
In the name of the electrons, the neutrons, and the protons. Good day.
I think it's time for JP to go to bed. So good night.
Good night.
Good night.